In the shade, I had the shade. We had nice chest. Well, we were on a houseboat for about 3 weeks, not the first week. Now, those run about $5,000 a week to rent. This was given to us as a gift. And the people who own the houseboat are believers, and they used it in ministry, okay? And they said, this is our gift. What, that was good, okay? That was nice. And so in after about our second day, our son comes with his family, okay? So it's a little houseboat, okay? It's small, and so we're all... But it's just very special times with family you can share in no other way. I've shared before in my messages, and by the way, this is kind of a message too, so it fits with all this stuff. Our theme at this point in time is getting ready for the holidays, so this is a part of it. When I ask people, what are the most meaningful times of your life? And when they ask me that, I think back, and I think in my childhood, my vacations, okay, were meaningful because family came together and my grandparents came. I'm the grandparent now, but spending time with your grandkids as a grandparent doing those kinds of things are precious times. And little Tatum, but that big, always wanted to kiss me, okay? I always wanted to kiss me. And she came up one day and didn't kiss me. And I said, well, am I going to get a kiss today? And she said, are you going to shave today? And I did. Both. But it was those kind of times that are neat. Then Beth came with her brand new baby. It was overlap, so we're really crowded now. And so it was just nice to have fun. It was fun to have fun with them, talk about spiritual things, politics, religion, the whole thing, right? So that was good. Then we had a little bit of time after that, not much, just the two of us to kind of take a deep breath and relax and so on. And that was good. So thank you for your prayers. I got to say this, that it kind of happens every year. I was getting to my wit's end, the end of my rope, okay? I was getting to the end. And this is a time that refreshes me. There's these big chairs. When I was little, I couldn't understand this concept. There are these big chairs on the top of the houseboat. And there's a shade thing. That you sink, you sit in them and you sink deeply. And you sit there and you pray. And you read the scriptures and you pray some more. And those are precious times that the Lord speaks to me. And I hear from him. And the beauty of his creation around us is quiet. Cell phones don't work. Okay, they don't work. That's why I didn't have them. And it's quiet. And animals are there. There were deer. We had a doe come down with her two brand new fawns, spots all over them. They were this close. Okay, this close to us, okay? Anyway, it's just eagles flying around. Anyway, it's been refreshing, revitalizing, and it's what we needed. And thank you. Now, the first week, and this is where you come into all this. We were sharing that we had some speaking engagements. Well, we had a three-day seminar. And how all this comes about was going back over the years, the church we were involved in 30 years ago up there, it was a brand new church then. It was a Calvary Chapel outreach. And, of course, in their history, they're always focusing on Israel and prophecy. You know, you go through all the books, you can name all the authors and the radio shows, Israel and Prophecy, Israel and Prophecy. And this is the group that we went to our first Israel trip with, was them. Well, if things have changed, there's a new pastor and so on and so forth, but not long ago, and it's always been kind of that way, but not long ago, their pastor, of all things, went to Israel, and God speaks to him about the importance, not just to take people there, but there's something else about a link with Israel. And so all of a sudden, things began to happen in him. And he said, this needs to happen to all of our pastors in this community. And so he organized a trip for the pastors last year. And they went, and it happened to all of them. Actual miracles, audible voices, appearances. I mean, angelic appearance. We're talking about stuff right out of Elijah's life and so on happened to these guys in Israel. And they came back changed. And they addressed their churches and saying, you know what? God changed me. I'm going this direction. Are you with me or not? Because that's where I'm going. They mean messianic, okay? Like they don't know what they mean just yet. And so when we were back up there and holding our seminar last April, a lot of these pastors came. And so they invited us back again this time to share some more. The first pastor's name is Bob. He just found out as I said before, his last name is really Cohen, okay? So he's dealing with that right now. His wife's right there with him, okay? Only he's brand new. So he wanted to host the seminar at his church. It's a Nazarene church. So here I am going to a Nazarene church, all right? And it was well attended. And the first part was interesting. Okay, their worship team. Okay, if I was on the worship team, I would be by far the youngest person up there. By far the youngest. This is neat to see that their old folks don't just sit. And they're singing all these Jewish songs and doing their best, and they're up there, and I'm thinking, this is a great testimony. These, you know, the oldest worship team ever, and they're great. They're good. It wasn't just kids. I'm like, this is good. I like this, okay? Anyway, it was well attended. The first section was, they asked for this. Present a case for Messianic Judaism. Why we need who we are, and why we need congregations like this. So I can do that, right? So we did that. Well received. Then we did Yeshua in the Holidays. Okay? Of course, it's not just, this is the facts. This is going to the place where the people say, are you saying that maybe we should be doing this stuff? Okay, then the question is, well, how do we who are not Jewish in these Christian churches do this? So we answer the question. Okay. Now, the last night is when it happened, okay? The neat thing was this, that Bob Cohen, it's not his real last name just yet, but it'll get there, he said, pray for me. My board, they were sitting in the front row the whole time. I didn't know that was the board. They also are all older than I, okay, by far. And they were there, very attentive. He said, my board has to meet with me right now. I thought, oh, we got him in a lot of trouble. Okay, he's in big trouble right now, right? He came back to us later and he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, the board said to him, and these are the exact words, they said, okay, we get it. We see it, we get it. We're with you, what do we do next? That's music to a pastor's ears, okay? We have to plod through all this stuff sometimes. They say, you know, the lights came on, I see it, we're with you. That's where we want to go to. Take us there. Nice. All right. Also years ago, there was a large church that was very strongly replacement theology, blatantly so. Well, at the last seminar, their pastor asked me, he said, next time you're up here, you'll speak in our church on Sunday morning. I'm thinking, okay, this will be interesting. But he was on that trip to Israel, and he was spoken to as well. And he did a radical flip-flop, just like that. You see, don't stop praying for these guys. Because the Lord can touch them and just open their eyes and they all of a sudden see it. But there's a link to Israel and Jewish people that causes that spark to work, all right? Because I'm getting to that part in just a minute. And so he asked me to speak in his church. And we knew people there that we haven't seen in 25 years. And it was very well received. I did two Sunday morning services there, very well received. In between all those, of course, I'm having lunch and dinner with pastors and sharing and answering questions. Then at the largest church, which is called Little Country Church, which is not little, it's quite large. And their turnout Wednesday night was amazing. It's like going to the Messiah Conference, okay? It's a big turnout. And again, the topic was, why do Christians need to understand our Jewish roots? But that went into practicing them, not just understanding. And again, very well received. And they're linking up to our website and are going to be listening to our teachings and all the things that we do. So we are teaching through our website, okay? So just know that wasn't a vacation. It was fun. It was a lot of work, but very fruitful because they kind of see you. I talked about you guys. They kind of see you as their model, okay? So this is how we do it, right? Yes, because there are other people up that direction that do it different that we couldn't fellowship with, okay? And so who we are and the way we do what we do is what they want to be. So keep that in prayer. It was fruitful and special. Nice. Anything I left off? That's it? Okay. Before we pray about this message, I want to thank Reg. Where is he? Thank you, Reg, for being tuned into the Holy Spirit this morning you gave the perfect intro to this message. And Kathy gave the perfect intro to Thursday night Bible study. None of you knew where we're going. Thank you for setting the stage like this. Let's all stand and pray. And like I said before, we're preparing for the coming holidays. And what does that mean within us and within our hearts? And Luke, Saturday morning, we're doing the parables of Luke. One of the things that Luke emphasizes is Yeshua and his teaching about money and about finances. So we're there this week. But you see, it's not just about the finances. It's about your eternal soul and finances. So we're there this week and next week as we prepare for the call to repentance. Our God and God of our fathers, I just thank you and praise you that you are doing a work worldwide and opening eyes. And I thank you that we are finding that people, when I travel places, they know who we are because of our website. They listen to the messages, they look things up, and we're actually speaking into these congregations without knowing it. I thank you for that opportunity. And I pray that you would continue to open doors like that. I pray today at this reunion that while the fun and so on of seeing people and how you've worked in their lives is great, there would be a next step of understanding what you're doing now in the world, in missions, with Jewish people. And I think I'm the only one there that's going to have that message. And I pray we would have opportunity to share, there would be a hunger to learn, and again, a link up with these people who are committed to you all over the world to understand who we are and support who we are. And I pray for those opportunities. And I thank you for the influence they have been in my life and time past, and that it worked. It worked. All those people hung in there for 40 years of ministry, and they're still doing it. Bless them. And I pray this morning as we open your word, that your spirit would be our teacher, that we would listen and learn, that we would have eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that receives. And I thank you for your word in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, now one of the things that I did leave out that's important that was happening up there is that when I'm talking to these people who read all the books about prophecy, you know, the link of Israel and prophecy. Okay, now that's good, except then when you bring this up, I say, okay, now how many of you believe that we're in the last days? Oh, all the hands, Calvary Chapel, right? All the hands go up, yeah. Well, if we're in the last days, if we are in the end times, then the Israel of prophecy is the Israel of today, then the Jews of today are the players that we are talking about. And all of a sudden the lights start coming on. Yeah, you got a point. Then maybe we should be blessing Jews. Yes, you're getting it, you got it. Bless Jews, reach out to them, be nice, support Messianic Judaism. Well, anyway, that's where the lights kind of came on. Oh yeah, so it's not just then a link to Israel, but a link to the people of Israel. See, some live in the land and some in the diaspora. It's a link to Jewish people, God's chosen people. And that's where the hearts are gripped. How can I bless Jews? And it's not just learning about Israel, but the vision that they're catching that we want to give isn't just facts, it's people. It's people. We want to bless God's chosen people. That's what I want to do. Well, Yeshua talked a lot, and Luke emphasizes certain areas. The next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at one. Yeshua's teaching about wealth, money, its benefits, and its detriments. Wealth can hinder ministry, okay, or the calling on a person's life. You can have a calling in your life, and wealth can actually hinder that calling. It's possible. It can cause a change of focus, a change of direction, but it can also be a great benefit. And so in his teaching, he gives both sides of the story. And the issue is, which side are you on? All right? Yeshua spoke to those who were rich and to those who were poor. We all probably fall into the second category. Okay? We'll see if that changes. He addresses attitudes and perspective. That's what we're talking about this week and next week. Attitudes and perspectives that'll affect where you spend eternity. Okay? They affect your eternal destiny. To those who had hindrances about wealth, he spoke the parable of the rich fool, which is today. The specific problem that he's addressing is greed. I know in your Bibles it might say covetousness, but the actual term and concept is greed. Coveting is a little bit different. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Verse starting with verse 13 through 21. Then one from the crowd said, we're going to come back to the crowd in a moment. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. The word is greed. Beware of greed. And here is the point. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That's the point. That's the teaching. So he spoke a parable to them, saying, the parable illustrates the point, okay? The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops. I can't help this one, but you know, I think that when Yeshua taught this, that he did it different than how I'm reading it. I think if you look at Yeshua's life, and especially through Luke, that it was dramatic. It wasn't just a speech. There's drama. It's like a skit. I think there was humor. I think there was laughter at times. I think there was people got mad and upset at times. But I think it's drama. I'm not so good at that, but I think he's emphasizing certain things. I'll give it a little shot here. We'll see. Only a little. I'll work on it, though. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. Are you getting the point? And I will say to my soul. So whose soul is it? Better think that one over. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And Mary and Mickey? But God said, you fool, for this night your soul will be required of you. And here's Yeshua's question. Here's the question. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? They're not going to be his. Whose are they going to be? Planning. Next week we talk about planning as well. His kicker point, verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Nothing wrong with being rich, but what do you do with it? Treasure for himself. Okay, look, the occasion. If we read back a little bit, you'll find that Yeshua was teaching his disciples a lesson. A large crowd gathers, begins to eavesdrop. Just like on our Israel trips, when I'm teaching, a kind of a crowd gathers. I want to see what we're doing, what we're up to. Then one guy in the crowd hollers out. He interrupts, actually, kind of rude. He says to Yeshua, tell my brother what to do. In other words, he's telling Yeshua what to do. You tell my brother. Okay? What he's really saying is, make my brother do this. That's why Yeshua said, I'm not making your brother do anything. Okay? This is a family dispute. A family dispute over inheritance. Ring true with anybody here? Happens all the time. Family disputes over inheritance. Okay? The law, Torah, was clear on what to do, by the way. It gives us what to do on inheritance. It tells you right there. But, you know, how about if we look at stuff like this? People come to me. Of course, you know when I give illustrations, it's never anybody here, right? It's the people I'm going to go see today. No, it's not really them. But they come to me and they say stuff like this. Okay, they'll say, I have this little issue I want to talk to you about. I know that God says this about that issue, but what do you think I should do? Now think about that. I'm the pastor, right? Okay, wait a minute. God said this, but you want me to tell you what I think you should do? It gets better. I'll give you even something more specific. I'll say, the Lord spoke to me and told me that I'm supposed to move to Seattle, take this job, and live there. What do you think I should do? Oh, I think you should go to San Diego and take a dip. People do that. If you come to me and you say, the Lord spoke to me and told me to do this, then you do that. I'm going to tell you something different, but that's kind of where we're going. They want to hear something a little bit different. So what I want is the Lord to speak to you. that you say to me, I'm doing this because I have heard from the Lord. And that's why I'm moving to Seattle, because I've heard from God and he's provided this job. That's what I want to hear. Okay? So, but people do that kind of stuff. The point, though, is in verse 15. And Yeshua says, beware of greed. Beware of greed. Your life does not consist in what you possess. It consists in better stuff than that. The parable illustrates the point, the teaching. But there's a reverse point. In all of his teachings, there are reverse points that are kind of fun, such as perfect love casts out fear. Reverse it, and it's still true. Perfect fear will cast out love. So you see, it works the other way. You can kill something that's wonderful with the opposite, with a sin. Fear will quench love. Well, anyway, the reverse point. Your life consists, the point is, your life does not consist in what you possess. But the reverse point is this. Your life consists in what he possesses. Does he possess you? All of you. That's the question. If he possesses all of you, that's the good point. How much of you does he have? And then Yeshua's question at the end, whose will these things be when that day comes? And that goes back to the laws of inheritance. God tells us how that all works. But I tell you what, they're not his. They're not his. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. The contrast of the parable, treasure. It's about treasure. Treasure for yourself, which is temporal, or treasure toward God, which is eternal. Things of eternal value. Well, the rich fool, God used the term, calls him a fool. He had an appointment. He didn't make the appointment. You know, we have our calendars, right? It's not on my calendar. He had an appointment. He didn't make it. He had plans. He had things to do. All right? And then one evening, on his shoulder, an angel, maybe. Sir, excuse me, your appointment is tonight. He says, I think he had me mixed up with somebody else. You know, I have things to do. My barns aren't finished yet, okay? I have plans. I've got stuff to do. Sorry, but your barns are finished. Okay? You have an appointment. And by the way, and you didn't make it. And you and I have an appointment that we haven't made. We don't know the day or the hour, but it's going to happen. Surprise, surprise. You may go to bed one evening and wake up. My question is where? Where is it going to be? And who are you going to be looking at? And what are they going to say? So the question, and Yeshua is all through his life and ministry, the focal point of these kinds of teaching were, are you ready? Are you ready? And that's the point of the coming holidays. We get ready for them. Because in them it speaks of what he does for us. Are you ready? This guy was self-centered. Here's the problems. Selfish. His perspective was selfish. He didn't see, eyes that see, he didn't see beyond himself. Beyond himself. I kind of semi-dramatized that, but we have numbers here. There were six I's, five my's, and four I wills in that long sentence. Self-centered. He didn't have eyes to see. Whose stuff was it? Was it his? Was it his? I don't think so. I think the way it works is like this. God entrusts into our care stuff for biblical stewardship, for management, for investment in ministry, for giving. And what are we going to do with it? That's the question. He entrusts you with, whether it be money or things or whatever. Okay? Who or what was the source of his prosperity? He was a farmer. God was the source. Is he giving thanks to God? No, he's not. No, he's not. Okay? What happened to gratitude, which is a part of the holidays coming up? Just plain giving, sharing. His plans. He had plans. Do you have plans? His plans were for a life of ease. A life of ease. God had other plans. Other plans. What are your plans? What are your plans? What are God's plans for you? That's a good question. So I have questions about this guy. I mean, everybody wants to be like him, right? I mean, he's got money to burn. Yeah, I want to be like that guy, okay? Why didn't he invest what he had? It's been entrusted to his care. Why didn't he give it away to bless other people? He didn't do that. It was for me, 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 me. He could have invested in ministry, in people that had needs. He didn't need the crop. Why? The barns were already full. He didn't need the coming crop at all. He had full barns. He'd been abundantly blessed. But instead of blessing others with what he had, he builds bigger barns for himself. For himself. What happened to ministry? What happened to people? Okay, he's looking at himself. He could have invested at the temple. There are people that can't afford the sacrifices. Buy some lambs, give them away. The synagogue. Feed the poor. The hero in giving in the Bible is a poor widow. She didn't know that Yeshua was watching, but she gave the smallest amount of anyone. But Yeshua said she gave the most because it was all she had. Yeshua was looking at her heart, and he's looking at this guy's heart. They're total opposites. The amount wasn't important. It was the attitude, the perspective. Yeshua saw her heart. We see people in Scripture, when it comes to giving, that are full of joy and enthusiasm because they're giving the building of the tabernacle, the building of the temple. I mean, David gave a lot of his own money out of joy. I can't wait to give this to God. Investing in those things that God will bless. Even we have Gentiles. You see it in the book of Luke. Roman soldiers who build synagogues because they love the land of Israel, the Jewish people, and the God of Israel. And they build synagogues. They take their own money and do something worthwhile with it. So what does God love? We can make a list on that one. We're in giving, so you all know where I'm going, right? God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, well, I think that Roman soldier was cheerful. The people who built the tabernacle and the temple, there was in excitement about giving because they're giving to the work of the Lord. But the rich man didn't see that. He didn't see a purpose for his life except to take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry, to live a life of ease. But he could have had the joy of giving. He missed that one. He thought life consisted in what he had. But life doesn't. It consists in who you are. Life consists in who you are, because who you are will determine what you do. He's talking about attitudes and perspectives. All of his plans were made for only him and only now. What are your plans? What are your plans? He has plans for you, by the way. You have an appointment. You just don't know when it is. Because guess what, if you knew when it was? Human nature is we'll just put everything off until just before. I'll make my final commitment the day before. No, that's what he knows how we are. He said, be ready, because you don't know when your appointment is. Plans are made only for him, only for now. But that appointment will determine his eternal destiny. He saw something. He heard something. What was it? This appointment was not in his plan. You have one. Not in his plan. He thought he had lots of time. Look at all this stuff. I'm going to take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry, relax, retire, and enjoy life. Tonight, that's it. It's gone. He thought he had lots of time. How much time do you have? How much time do you have? How much time do you think you have? I'll bet it's a lot less than you think you do. Okay? I gave this story. I debated sharing it again, but it's been about four buildings ago, so I'll throw it out. If you remember, it's a good story. It's not true. Charlene, is this a true story? No, this is not a true story, okay? So, it's a story about Satan. He's having this contest on how to deceive people and get them to hell. And so the last three demons in the contest come up with their great ideas. And they see one of them says to Satan, he says, okay, the idea is this, we tell people that there's no God. And Satan thought about it, he says, nah, that's not going to work. He said, inside of a person's heart, deep inside, they know God exists. The next demon said, we're going to tell them that there's no hell. There's no accountability. There's no judgment. Satan says, no, you know, deep inside of them, they know there's accountability somehow and judgment. And I think they know there's a heaven and a hell. And the third one said, my idea is tell them there's no hurry. Satan says, you got them. You got them. There's no hurry. Oh, there's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a God, but there's no hurry. Got him. How much time do you have? If you need to say something to somebody, maybe you better say it. Marcia is not going to be at this reunion. I was involved in her wedding. And a part of all this was those memories of that long ago. And that's a part of the testimony we're saying to these other people, you don't know how much time you have. And the message in this group 45 years ago was, come to the Lord now. And that's the message today, this afternoon, for those that don't know him. He went to bed a very rich man. And he woke up. Yeah, he woke up. Where did he wake up? Come next week for the second part of this one, okay? Where do you wake up? You say, okay, where's all my stuff? Where's all my stuff? And the angel is saying, excuse me, but you don't need your stuff here. I don't need my stuff. No, don't need your stuff here. If he had put his focus and all his plans on God, not on his stuff, he would have answered a little different and he would have awakened in the kingdom. Yeshua said, that's what he's teaching. He would have awakened rich toward God. That's his plan, rich toward God. Hearing. And I think I know who'd be seeing. I think the book of Revelation says, and you shall see his face. And the words are, well done, good and faithful servant. How may I serve you? You who are my treasure. How may I serve you? Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't think he heard that. It's like, you blew it. You didn't. I gave you all this stuff. You didn't. Invested in people. He woke up somewhere. And I think a part of this teaching is Yeshua is saying, wake up. Wake up. Because the reality is you have an appointment. And God's going to keep it. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Have you invested your life? Your life. Not your money, your life. Because that's a part of your life. You're who you are. Have you invested your life and your possessions, all you are, into things of eternal value? Or self. He didn't. He's not the hero, by the way. No, you notice he's not named? There's no name. Those things weren't his plans. Okay, and he will reap what he has sown. And so will you. When you sow seeds into ministry, into missions, where I'm going today, seeds were sown 45 years ago. And the trees of they took root, they grew, and they blossomed, and they have borne a lot of fruit. It worked. That's a living testimony that this stuff works. The stuff I heard from a high school youth group that caught my heart then worked. I have walked with the Lord that long, and so have all these people. It's not just, well, you know. No, they all did it. They took it serious. They took those messages serious, and it became a part of their life and who they were, and they've changed the world. One of the ladies coming is the director of an orphanage for Arabs, Arab Christians in Bethlehem, Israel, that Bethlehem, the real one. So you know, there's links all over. I mean, all over the world. Several from Mexico, South America. This is going to be fun. He thought ahead was a life of ease. Surprise. Surprise. Are you going to get a surprise? The problem Yeshua was addressing was greed. See, that's the problem. We're going to say, well, we don't have that problem. How about this verse? We talked about God loves a cheerful giver. Would it fit? Does God love a greedy person? If you put that in, that doesn't sound good, does it? It doesn't fit. Does God? No. Don't you want to be what God loves and doing what God loves? Okay, he wants you. You, all of you. It's about attitudes and perspective. Eyes that see, ears that hear. He didn't see. Now, the other side of the coin. Yeshua does not speak against money at all. Okay? Only the misuse of it. That's what he's speaking against. You know the verse, don't you? Sure, you all know the verse. Money is the root of all evil. You all know that one, right? Guess what? That's not it. Thank you, Bible students. That's not the verse. It's been misquoted all the time. That's not the... Okay, who knows where that is? No, where it is. 1 Timothy 6, 10. But you're right. You are right. I'm glad I have this group. And I'm glad you're all awake. This is cool. God says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. You're supposed to love other stuff, and you're supposed to give your money to what you love. That's how it works. This guy just gave it to himself. Okay? Now, let's be charismatic today, okay? Let's do that, okay? One of the spiritual gifts, which I want to see manifested in this very room, is giving, okay? Okay, now think about this. It's a spiritual gift. How does that gift manifest itself? Giving, okay? To give away money, to use that gift. Yeah, I'll pray for other stuff, right? Pray for that gift, would you please? Pray for the gift of giving, all right? Because to give away money, to have the gift of giving, you have to have the money to give it away. But the purpose of it is to invest in ministry. To not just to give it away, but invest in ministry, into people, in missions, finance missions, and the planting of new congregations. You know what? There's not a shortage of missionaries. There's a shortage of money to send them. I can get the people. And these people I'm going to be with, we can get the people. The money's the tough part. All right? So pray for the gift of giving to manifest itself. I believe Satan's holding that stuff down because that's hindering the spread of the gospel worldwide. We have people that can go. We can't send them. See, we're supposed... In the book of Acts, they sent them. They financed them. And I think there's a hindrance in this area going on. So let's be praying about that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with money. In fact, you need money to have effective ministry. You have to have it. You have to have it. So another question would be, what have I done with what God has entrusted into my care? Okay? What did he do? He could have invested it into people. Another teaching of Yeshua is something like this. If you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Invest in Jewish ministry, in messianic ministry. What did God see? We're talking perspectives. God saw his heart. God saw his heart. And God said, you're a fool. You're a fool. You've entirely missed my purpose for your life. You missed it. You had one of the greatest chances of all time. You missed it. You missed it. He was not rich toward God. Could have been. Now, Yeshua doesn't leave that one there. And right where we are in Luke, he continues. To those who had nothing, some of you fit in that category, he said, therefore, therefore is the connecting word, okay? Let's take a look. Verse 22. And he says to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, about the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses or barns, yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? By the way, that how much more is a Jewish idiom, a Hebraic idiom of comparison that was rabbinical teaching of that time. It's the comparison of how much more. But that's what he's saying. How much more valuable are you to God? Okay? It's your value he's talking about. Verse 25, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I need to put that one on my fridge, okay? Then if you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Because it doesn't not going to happen anyway, right? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You ever taken a flower apart under a microscope or a magnifying glass and look at the beauty of the creation of a flower? God's handiwork is amazing. It's just amazing, the small stuff. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more, there you go again, will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. That means be worried, okay? For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. It's not that you don't need him. God knows what you need. He's not surprised. But here's what we do. Here's our priority. Seek the kingdom of God. That's number one. That's first. And all these things will be added to you. It's a matter of perspective. What do you put first? Do not fear, little flock. I like it when he says little flock. Okay? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's heart to give you his kingdom. And that's how much he loves you. Okay? Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. And here's the kicker verse for the whole teaching. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's your treasure? Where's your heart? The two are connected. Yeshua said, don't worry. Now that's a tough one, because in financial times, we worry. He's saying, you're of great value to God. Just know that. How much more? Your Father knows your needs already. But instead of making that your focus, make him your focus. Seek him and his kingdom first, and he'll provide the toys, right? This is what it says. He'll provide all the toys. No, your needs. He'll provide your needs. Yeshua said, don't fear. See, all these negative things all come together. It is his pleasure to give you his kingdom. He delights in that. Lay up treasure in heaven. Invest. How do you do that? Invest your life into things of eternal value. That is laying up treasure in heaven. That's what you're to do. That's what we're all to do. Where your treasure is, where's your treasure? There your heart will be. And the two connect. Your treasure. Your heart. Yeshua looks at the heart. Yeshua teaches that worry and fear can actually lead to the sin of greed. They see those negative things can lead us to being greedy. That's why the widow did so good. Okay, she gave everything. But the question is, and they're asking that too, and that was a Jewish thing, so now what do we do? So okay, I get the point, so what do we do? What do we do? His answer was simple. You make God your number one priority. He and his kingdom, your first priority. Above all, you put him first. And what he tells us to do right here, we do that first. That's number one. And what's a treasure to him? What's a treasure to him? What has value to him? That would be you. You, his chosen people. Okay? The negative, the other side of that coin, what he's speaking to, the greed. And by the way, all the stuff that happened earlier in the service, all these little words kept flying out. I'm thinking, wow, they didn't know what I was teaching on today. Greed is an ungrateful attitude toward God. That's what greed is. He had been blessed and didn't even thank God. But that changes our perspectives and our attitudes and our priorities. Okay? That's what greed can do. It's the opposite of being thankful. The opposite of being thankful. Thanksgiving has the word giving in it. Thanksgiving. And a person is what they are, not what they have. That's how God looks at you. So how are you? How are you? It's the quality of your life, not the quantity of your possessions, that measures what your life is. The fool gave all of his time, his energy, to things that don't last, nothing of eternal value. So where are we investing our time, our energy, our prayer, into things that are worthwhile? Our finances? Where's your treasure? That'll show you where your heart is. I hope it's in the right place. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you that Yeshua speaks to issues that are alive today. And there are attitudes and perspectives that we all deal with. I pray we, as his disciples did, would understand and grab a hold of these teachings and go in the direction that he's leading. Lord, I thank you and praise you that he's not opposed to having money. He's just opposed to the wrong use. Help us to understand the concepts that ministry needs money. We need to have it to invest, to send, to build. If we're going to build a synagogue somewhere, plant a congregation, it takes money. Lord, I pray that you would give us first the right attitudes, the right perspectives on how we see, so we'll know how to pray, and we will see that we don't have a thing, that all we have is yours. It's been entrusted to us, to our care, to our discernment. I pray that we would make the right decisions and choices, but we would invest in ministry, and especially in messianic ministry in your people, and that we would do it with a cheerful heart and a cheerful attitude as the examples we have in Scripture. Lord, I pray that we would learn the lessons of this man, that we have an appointment, and someday we're going to wake up and give an account. I pray that we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. How may I serve you, my treasure, my heart?" In Yeshua's name, amen.